resurrection joy, resurrection conviction also recognizes that Jesus Christ came to gather his church. He gave his life to the death by means of his blood for the church. He purchased the church. We rightfully focus on individual privileges and blessings that we receive through the work of Christ and the Spirit. But we also want to think how that applies communally, how it applies to us here gathered this afternoon in Wyoming. It's not something little to think of how the Lord is bringing his people together, coming together to exalt him and worship him, coming together to stand as one in the gospel truth. So to introduce our scripture lesson, we want to read from Lord's Day 21. And we're just considering at this time question and answer 54. And to the question, what do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? We give this answer: I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community I am and always will be a living member. Question and answer 54 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And then we open the scriptures to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. Going to read that beautiful account of the shepherding care of the Lord. John 10, we're reading 1, verse 1 through 30. Where the Lord Jesus says to us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So far, the reading of the Holy Scriptures. We trust the Lord's added blessing. We understand that while the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of our God endures forever. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we're assembled together as the sheep of the sheepfold. And the Good Shepherd wishes to encourage us in our gathering as his sheep, as a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might see how rich we are for the opportunity to be called the sheepfold of the Savior. If you were to take an opinion survey as to the value of the church, the importance of the church, or the role of the church in society at large, the outcome of such a survey perhaps would be devastating. Today, the church in Canadian society and the Western world at large is regarded as a dead relic. The church is viewed with suspicion and even anger. The church does not register on most people's Richter scale. Now, thankfully, we don't go by the opinion polls of society at large, but by what the Bible teaches concerning the church, what the Bible teaches in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible speaks in the strongest loving terms of the importance of the church, the importance of covenant Christian church, and speaks in such strong language for our comfort. We're thankful to declare that the church doesn't belong to any one of us here, but it belongs to Christ, who laid down his life for the church. Our Heavenly Father loves Zion. The Holy Spirit leads the church in faith and faithfulness. And what we believe, indeed, what we believe is important. What we believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church impacts our very life. The implications of our conviction help shape our worldview, how it is that we go about from day to day, and how it is that we decide what's important. The answer to the question, what is the church, is an answer that is crucial for each one of us. What do you personally believe concerning the church and your place in the church? What do you believe we are to be as a church, and what we are to do as a church? Now, the scriptures have teachings concerning the leadership and its qualities that are to be aimed for. Scriptures teach concerning the necessity of a membership that exercises their God-given calling within the church. And this afternoon, we want to, by means of the outline of the Heidelberg Catechism, consider Christ's work in choosing a community for eternal life. And as we do so, we'll notice that the sheepfold of Christ is a gathered community, a protected community, a preserved community. We ought to understand that the gathering of Christ's church began with the very first gospel promise. When God speaks to the serpent of the bruising that he will receive, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In speaking of the seed of woman, our Heavenly Father was speaking of those who belong to Christ's sheepfold. The first church members were who? Adam and Eve. The church, the Bible tells us, is the body of Christ, purchased with the blood of Christ. And while we live in an age where the church is not seen for what it is, we must remember that Christ so esteemed the church that he gave his blood for her. He, the head, we, the subject to our head. Christ, the cornerstone. And he calls us to be building stones in his building project. Now, how does Christ gather? He gathers by his Spirit and Word. And each time we hear the call to worship from various places in the gospel, we may think of the Holy Spirit's gathering grace. And this morning from Revelation, this afternoon from Revelation, we could hear something of the chorus of those who have been gathered. Where we think of the psalmist in Psalm 27, where in the earnest of his heart he has spoken of the Lord as his light and his salvation, the stronghold of his life. And then at verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Is that our testimony, beloved? The desire, the joy to be in the house of the Lord and to make our inquiry before him. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Indeed, the psalmist is brimming full, isn't he, of his desire, his great desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold his beauty, to inquire. He had a desire for understanding. Faith always does seek understanding. And he understood that the church was a place of refuge. And this is our place of refuge. This is to be our understanding. To be called before the Lord, to come before him in worship, is of the highest privileges that we can experience. And some of the greatest responsibilities that the Lord lays before us. This calling that we have to assemble, to come together, is a call that must be exercised and answered in faith. It's not, well, it's Sunday again. No, we're going to meet with the Lord and His people. And to recognize that the church is the workshop of the Holy Spirit, in which the Word of God is proclaimed to fashion and form the church according to Christ's good pleasure. A workshop in which the Holy Spirit is busy producing and reproducing living members. Members whose lives are characterized by the fruits of repentance and faith. In short order, the Lord will bring you your own pastor. And he will stand behind this pulpit from Sunday to Sunday, given that utmost of important tasks to lead in worship, to proclaim the word, to declare the truth, to lead the congregation in that living faith. You've been encouraged to already pray for him as he makes preparations to come this way. So important that we stand together, God using His under-shepherds to do His bidding. And not only for your pastor to come, but for all faithful pastors, to pray for them, to uphold them, encourage them in the task that they have been given. God using both the pastor and the elders, but the congregation at large, to gather a people for Himself to glorify Him. And when such people as you are gathered this afternoon or are assembled in what we call this covenantal dialogue, God speaking, and we be given the blessing to answer, there is a fellowship with the Lord. And it's a fellowship that we exercise and experience together as a congregation with one voice, with one heart. The chorus of praise and testimony is lifted to the Lord. And if you're reluctant to sing, or don't even desire to sing, that would be a bad thing. Never mind. Just sing. God is great. And greatly to be praised. We're not here as an assortment of individuals, but we're here as a congregation, as one body, subject to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Savior speaks of His gathering work, He uses the language of the Good Shepherd. And even the boys and girls amongst us this afternoon can it somewhat in their mind and heart picture the scene of that shepherd farmer, the sheep herder who goes to the field to call his sheep. And because they know him, they follow his voice. And then when it's time to bring back to the pasture, the shepherd leads the way, bringing them to the green pastures, the nourishment and the sustenance that they need. In like manner, Christ, by His Word and Spirit, calls us to the safety of our sheepfold, the church. And in the preaching of the Word, we hear the voice of Christ and we learn something again of the beauty of our beautiful Savior who cares so much for us that He would call us with His gentle voice to follow Him. The work of Christ through the Holy Spirit and His Holy Word is to gather sheep. Sheep to experience redemption. Sheep that need to be washed and cleaned. Sheep that need to be upheld in the most holy faith. Sheep that need to be encouraged in the truth. And this is to happen through all ages and all places. There is a gathering in heaven. And it is the gathering of God's people who have come together, by and large, in faithful churches. Churches that are alive. Churches that take delight in the work of Christ. Churches that delight in the preaching of the Word and the implications of such preaching for seeking the lost sheep. That be a word of comfort or a word of admonition, a word of press on. In the body life of Christ's church, we find ourselves gathered from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, not simply then as individuals or families, but as that flock. One flock here, He the head, we to live as His body. Now we do need to ask this question. Do all who belong to the church in turn belong to Christ? And then we must also acknowledge that the Bible teaches that on earth the church is a mixed body. We think of the parable of the wheat and the tares growing along with the wheat. There are those tares. There are those who are simply part of the church by reason of appearance, going through the motions, we might say, without any real life. Though Christ regards His bride as holy, it is always in this world an unholy mixture within it. And not all of those who speak of honoring Christ with their lips honor Him with their heart as well. And since God alone can read the human heart and the secrets of the human heart, the true elect are visible to Him, but in some measure, invisible to us. The invisible church is, however, completely visible to God. And our calling to be church, we may say that it is the task of the elect to make the invisible church visible. Now we say that for our encouragement. God knows His church. God knows those living members whom He gathers. And those whom He has gathered in truth, He will protect. When we truly understand that Jesus is the door by which we must enter the kingdom, then we will also experience the conviction of knowing what it is to be safeguarded. Jesus is the sole means to approach the Father and to partake of the Father's promised salvation. The shepherds of Bible times would often sleep in the gateway of the enclosure to guard the sheep. Jesus in our scripture lesson pictures Himself as that gate. The gathered work is a protected work. And Jesus has said, the Bible tells us, that not even the gates of hell will prevail against His church. And then to understand that there is a real protection in the sheepfold. When we live together, as we must, in like-minded faith, as we must, there is a real communion. There is a real bond. There is a real understanding that you don't stand alone. There's that confidence that we are standing for each other because the shepherd has stood for us. There is for the sheep the knowledge that the shepherd will care for his sheep. A conviction that the truth will be preached. An understanding that the sacraments will be celebrated in a God-glorifying manner. An understanding that the discipline of discipleship will be exercised. That Jesus will defend His church by means of office bearers who know what it is to live up to their vows as under-shepherds of the flock. You have men who are being considered to serve as under-shepherds in your midst. A beautiful task. The elders ought to say so. The deacons ought to say so. But it is a high responsibility. Under-shepherds representing the shepherd above. Shepherding all of us. We all need shepherding care. Pastors need shepherding care. But it's a work that needs to be exercised. And the Lord uses His people to exercise His work, again by means of His Word and His Spirit. Because the Lord Jesus defends His church, we have the gathering, we have the protecting, we also have the testimony that He will preserve her. Now that does not mean that the church will always have a peaceful existence. Far from it. Church history is filled with account after account of the struggling church, the militant church, the church that must face the onslaught of the devil.
In our own age, there are some 50 countries that don't even permit the Bible to be a book in their land. There is persecution in more places than two hands can hold. There are those who, even at this moment, are suffering because they desire to live as the sheep of the sheepfold. We go back to Reformation days. We think of what Guido de Bray, the preacher of the Reformed churches back then, was willing to stand for and die for. And indeed, he died as a martyr to the faith in the year 1567. Well, during the 16th century, the churches were exposed to the most terrible persecutions by the Roman Catholic government. To protest against this cruel oppression and to prove to the persecutors that those who held to the Reformed faith, who held to the faith of the Scriptures, they weren't rebels, as was laid to their charge, but law-abiding citizens who professed the true Christian doctrine according to the Holy Scriptures. And de Bray prepared a confession. We know it as the Belgic Confession, 1561, the catechism students learn. In the following year, a copy was sent to whom? Catechism students also learned, King Philip II, together with an address in which the petitioners declared that they were ready to obey the government in all lawful things, but that they would offer their backs to stripes, their tongues to knives, their mouths to gags, and their whole bodies to the fire, rather than to deny the truth that was expressed in the confession. We read two articles on Good Friday. But in spite of such persecution, where many lost their lives, the church goes forth. Her existence has always been marked by difficulty. After all, the church has been called to bear her cross. And when we look closely at church history, it would seem that at times that the gathering work of Christ may seem to be very little. And we may think, well, what kind of protection have we really received? And how are we being preserved? And the skeptics will ask, well, where's this church that you speak of? What bearing does the church have in society today? You're just a collection of misfits. Do you really believe that God is gathering and defending and preserving a church when you see what's unfolding before your eyes in the world today? Then we may be mindful of what we confess with the Belgic Confession in Article 27, where we may make this bold statement: this church, of which the Covenant Christian Church of Wyoming is part, this church has been from the beginning of the world and will be to the end thereof, which is evident from this, that Christ is an eternal King, which without subjects he cannot be. It's impossible for Christ not to have his subjects. And this holy church is preserved or supported by God against a rage of the whole world, though sometimes for a while appearing very small and in the eyes of men to be reduced to nothing, as during the perilous reign of Ahab, where the Lord reserved unto himself 7,000 men who had not bowed the knee to Baal. You remember God's servant Elijah. He thought he was the only one left. Lord, I need to go. There's nothing left. But God kept for himself a people. Yes, the worship of the true God had largely fallen by the wayside. We see that in our own country today. Many of the covenant community no longer desired to follow the Lord and his precious commandments. But there was that remnant. And that remnant we know to be a small leftover. And how we must be so very thankful for the remnants. We might even say in our age we are becoming part of that remnant that God is preserving. And that he always keeps for himself to be a people, to be living members of the body of Christ. To this day, there remain many enemies for the church to face. Sadly, our government increasingly is setting itself against those churches that hold the Bible to be true from cover to cover. Well, you can take a few pages, but not everything. Much of the media will take every opportunity to mock the Church of Jesus Christ, and you can multiply the list. Those enemies exist not only from the outside, but sadly also from time to time in the inside, from within. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes to his understudy, to the young man who's pastoring, concerning those who abandoned him. And in that fourth chapter at the 16th verse, we read, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." Then in the verses 17 and 18, he writes, "But the Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion," that prowler that would seek to break down the church. And the apostle goes on to say, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for the heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, the apostle Paul, if he could say amen to this, think of his life when he was beaten, when he was shipwrecked, when he was left for dead and in jail. And you know the list, the long list of all the troubles that he experienced. Well, if Paul can say amen in the light of these difficulties, if he can testify of God's deliverance, how we must be encouraged in our difficulties. Despite the fury of the enemy, Christ will not allow his true church to succumb. As we sing from time to time, "Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us." God will not neglect to provide the faithful church with everything necessary to permit the church to preserve in the faith. Now, that gives us responsibility. Again, the elders must lead. And they must seek to lead in the lifeline that the church is to be to the congregation and to the world. How important that diligent study be encouraged and maintained. How important for the office bearers to encourage the entire congregation to be faithful in assembling and to do so with joy. Not, "Well, I guess I got to go to church." No, to be happy, to be filled with the light, that you may be gathered in the gathering. And then to see again that the church is not simply local, it is worldwide. As we confess, the church which God regards as holy for the sake of the Lamb that was slain is not confined, is not bound, is not limited to certain places or certain persons, but is spread and dispersed over the whole world, and joined and united with heart and will by the power of faith in one and the same Spirit. It's a delight to know that we have brothers and sisters from all over the world, even gathering in the flock. This morning, speaking to a brother who came from the Philippines and sharing something of his journey. Wonderful to hear. And there are others that have come to be with us, and we thank the Lord for them. The family of God is not defined by skin color, language, or race. The family of God is defined by Christ, as He graciously, by His Spirit and Word, binds us together in the faith that has been delivered once for all. Now think of the congregation here. You've been living together for over 25 years. There were those initial difficulties in becoming established. You've experienced a measure of difficulty along the way. And you can be sure there will be difficulties in the future. But there have been so many blessings, many, many, many blessings. When we think of those who have stood up before the congregation to declare that they love Jesus, the little ones are baptized. This past Friday, celebrating the great victory of Christ, His work on the cross in the celebration of the Holy Supper. To know that we are clay in the hands of the potter and the Lord's not done with us yet. We're works in progress. He's fashioning. He's molding us. And to know that with Jesus, we shall lack nothing. Yes, there are false shepherds. There are those who will seek to draw us astray from true knowledge and the kingdom of Christ. Those self-appointed shepherds, self-righteous, we hear of them in the world at large. When you study the prophets, there's all sorts of false prophets. They'll say something to tickle the ears of the people. True preachers are not ear ticklers. As a congregation, it's very important that together we resolve to be steadfast, to be true to our confession, to be true community of love and concern, with giving hearts to the life of the fellowship. Don't come to this spot while someone else will take care of it. Ask, well, how can I help along? Ask how I can be used, you can be used in the joy and the comfort of the ongoing work of the Savior. How important that our confession be a living confession. We did not simply read and hear question and answer 54 as information. Oh yes, a confessional reading, Lord's Day 21a. No, we didn't do that simply as a matter of information, a living confession, so that we might be living members of this community, that we might be a people who are known to be winsome for others by God's grace. It's always good to examine ourselves to see if we are that living member that the Lord asks of us to be. Our part may not be noticeable to others, but God knows our hearts. God knows our prayers. God knows what kind of desire we have for His church. God knows if we love the bride of Christ. And God knows if we truly heed the voice of our good and great shepherd. Should He find us faithful, He will continue to do His gathering till the day that He comes again. Should He find us faithful, He will continue to defend us in His way. Should He find us faithful, He will preserve His work amongst us. And then the Covenant Christian Church of Wyoming will be alive when Christ returns. Then the Covenant Christian Church will not be one of those churches that closes, as so many have closed in our society, because they've lost confidence in the gospel, because they no longer know the gospel, because they are deaf to the word of the Good Shepherd. Can you imagine? Can you imagine such a thing happening here? God forbid. And then one day those who belong to Christ will belong to the eternal gathering. Think of it. Think of those who've gone before us. The eternal gathering. Gathered into the new eternal Jerusalem, where our service for Christ will be perfected for eternity. While we wait, we go forward as Christ's gathered community here. And we remember what the Apostle Paul would say to the church gathered at Corinth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor for the Lord is not in vain in the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters in faith, go forward, knowing that the work of a true church is the work of Christ. And may that be our strong comfort. And may we seek to be that community of believers God calls us to be. Amen.